Kevin. This is the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors on 104.5 The Zone.
It is 8:02 or 8:03 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Visit fourseasonsgarages.com to learn more. Mark Howard along with Blaine Bishop and Jonathan Schaefer. Kevin off this week. Hey, the clock had just turned when I looked down, so I probably should have just stayed at 8:02, but whatever the case. Anyway, close to home, we should mention, I know a lot of Nashville SC fans are disappointed, not only by the postponement, but, the sort of second blow coming with the news of four more positive tests. So they could be, out of that tournament in Orlando. And, Schaefer, talk a little bit about, some of the aspects of this, of not being able to replace the players. But this shouldn't be misconstrued as the season being over either.
No, the season isn't over. The tournament is kind of the precursor, the reintroduction to the remainder of the season that they will try to play this year. Nine players have tested positive. FC Dallas was actually booted out of the tournament. They had 10 players test positive, including a staff member. Nashville SC had some coronavirus positive tests before they even left Nashville to go down to Orlando. So unfortunately, it's been a bit of a mess. They were originally supposed to play Chicago Fire FC yesterday. That game got postponed. So from the comments we saw from MLS Commissioner Don Garber last night and then overnight, we would expect that, unfortunately, Nashville SC would be eliminated, taken out of this tournament. But again, we're still awaiting official word.
All right, this has been in the news, and not to be late to the party or anything. 3HL did an excellent job with its interview with Dave Dombrowski, who has come aboard as an advisor to the Nashville group, who is trying to get a Major League Baseball team. And initially, most of us turned our noses up at this initiative because they were talking about a ballpark being built with public funds.
You kill me. We say initially.
What's that?
You kill me. Initially, we.
Okay, me. Also, a lot of us. I can say that without fear of contradiction.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people off the top thought there was no way they're going to get a ballpark built by Metro government. They're just not. The situation Metro is in right now. It's just there's
Major League Baseball coming to Nashville too, right, Mark?
What's that?
There are no Major League Baseball coming to Nashville, right?
Well, yeah. Right now, you look at it. I'll say this, okay? Dombrowski, obviously makes this group even more impressive. A guy who's won multiple world championships as a general manager. With the Marlins and the Red Sox, and he had a great run in Detroit with the Tigers. One of the best executives in the game, no question about it. And they've got, additional gravitas with Tony La Russa, Hall of Fame manager, Alberto Gonzalez, the former attorney general, and Dave Stewart, who was an outstanding pitcher and good executive, in his years in the game. My point is, we don't know where Major League Baseball is headed right now. There are, too many, murky potholes that they have encountered or will encounter, with the next collective bargaining agreement. But you can't preclude the possibility of a team moving here. The Tampa Bay situation bears watching, although the city of Montreal is armed to the teeth and really wants baseball back. But the notion, John Lohr, real estate mogul, is really leading this group, and he's really the money man. And this is a group that says they're prepared to build a ballpark with private funds. And when you hear that, that definitely perks you up a little bit and gets your attention. And again, you can't underestimate a group that has so many impressive people involved in it. And now that they said they've built that ballpark, well, there could be expansion. Baseball always talking about going to 32 teams, or there might be relocation. Now it sort of becomes a waiting game.
All right, well, before I get to go, Mark, I just want to get you on the record. You did rip me for talking about that Major League Baseball could happen at some point here in the next 15 years. Did you not rip me and say that will never, ever happen?
On the premise that the city would have to build the ballpark, yeah, I did say that was not going to happen. Now that they've said they would do it privately.
You never said on the premise if they had to build the ballpark.
Oh, absolutely, I did.
No,
absolutely,
Major League Baseball never come to Nashville.
Absolutely,
that,
I did.
That was never. That may have been a caveat, but that was way down the road after you said
that. That was the caveat.
Oh, that
it
was. That is absolutely. Schaefer's face tells it all. That's all we need to know.
No, no, no.
Okay.
No, no, no.
Move forward.
You're both right. Mark did say that it was never going to happen, but he did also say if the public had to provide the money for the ballpark. Both of you are right. Go back to your corners. Wait for the bell before you come back out into the middle of the ring.
All right. All right. Well, we'll get the tie because you said the Titans. Nashville would never get a Super Bowl team. So we'll let that be. I mean, Super Bowl. So we'll let that be the tiebreaker.
Yeah, that will be. I don't think they will.
Yeah, I know.
Until they get a new stadium.
There is no contingencies, Mark. Either they will or they won't until they get a stand. But that gives you an out, just like this last time.
Well,
come
you know
on,
what?
Man.
Feel
go
good.
Go out on a limb.
They're not getting a new stadium in our lifetimes.
Oh, well, they will in my lifetime. I don't know about you, man. But
I'm living forever. I don't know what you're talking about. Mark, we can't measure anything against your life expectancy. Okay?
Thank you, Schaefer.
No, I was just excited. You know what? We got the draft, so I hope we get everything. I do. I really. Nothing's off the table, Mark. Okay, they're calling you now.
Who is calling you, Mark? Are you a professional?
Bowl,
what's going on?
The possibility that the Super Bowl is going to happen.
that was
the sheriff.
Yeah, from my therapist. Now, my other question is. I get the feeling within the confines of the Cumulus Complex, Schaefer has started a Deadpool for celebrities and semi-celebrities, and he's bought a square on me.
We do not. First of all, there's not enough people in this building left to have a Deadpool in terms of guessing celebrity deaths, so we don't even worry about that one. Secondly, I actually like you, Mark, so I would not put you on a death pole square, but if we're gonna guess decades, then I might get some action on that.
Yeah, I would say so.
I know who was calling you, Mark. That was because the date is 7/9. That was your buddy Jeff Fisher calling you.
Wow.
That's who was calling you. Yeah. Fishbowl.
What are you trying to say, Blaine, about today being July 9th?
Your old coach, man.
Yeah, man. Oh, man, he cheap shot at me all the time.
Will we see Jeff Fisher references on social media today because it's 7/9? I hate going there because I really like Jeff, and Jeff was very good to me. So
cause you like somebody, you can't get what?
Well, I hate to turn on him.
Well, I took a shot through the Wake Up Zone at Twitter account, which I enjoy doing very much, because it's y'all's reputation, not mine. But I took a shot at Jeff Fisher yesterday because he had posted a picture, a way back Wednesday photo where he's saying, "Hey, look at how good I looked and all that." So then I put up our picture of Photoshop Dave McGinnis as the Dos Equis guy and said, "This guy disagrees with you. Coach McGinnis is the most interesting man in football." And then Coach Mack said, "What are you doing? Why are you trying to pull me into this?"
Oh, man. I have people lighting me up right now talking about, you know, Jeff Fisher, that's undeserved. The 7/9, they say you have to wait to 8/8. I mean, you know.
So that's next month.
Gotta wait till August 8th. Oh, okay.
You are. Like, man, you are ice cold, man.
Yeah, man. Hey, I love Fishbowl, man. We did some great things together.
As you know with me, do unto others as they do unto you. And
Fishbowl, man, he was a prankster to a certain extent.
Oh, he was.
In the teammate rooms, man. It was always exciting to see who he would go after. Jokes aside, just to have some fun and to get the guys to relax and enjoy yourself too, because there's some rigors of playing in the National Football League. So I'm sure he would have no issue, and he would probably come back with, yeah, I also had some pretty good seasons too as well.
He did. And I'll say this about Def. He let me roast him for his celebrity roast. I got in some pretty good shots.
You did?
He was cool. He was cool to the whole thing.
All right, let's see if one of your shots was really good. Since you're scared to take the 7-9 and 8-8 shot, rehash one shot you took him at his roast, by the way, so you're supposed to give him a roast. Can you remember?
I can't off the top of my head. I think, man, I did make an August 8th, though, reference.
Okay.
It should be on 8-8.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, you went out on a limb there.
Yeah. Nope. All right, straight ahead, Titans with a lot of work to do, not only on the field, but with general manager John Robinson. We'll talk about some of the decisions that lie ahead immediately and in the distant future. 8:14 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. A20 on the Wake Up Zone, powered by all Four Seasons Garage Doors. Visit FourSeasonsGarages.com to learn more. Mark Howard, along with Blaine Bishop, who has several tasteful paintings hung behind him, and our producer, Jonathan Schaefer. Kevin off this week. I think I have a Cheryl Teagues poster somewhere here in this room, and he's got tasteful art. So
what
that
people,
just shows
what
you
people don't how cultured. Know is that Blaine, during the show today, has become super chill to the point that he almost had a Sharon Stone moment, and that would have been very bad.
Well, explain. The camera, he's sitting in a chair, and the camera angle from his computer almost gave us a visit to a place we didn't want to go.
Oh, well, I move back. And,
Thank you for that.
I am fully dressed, by the way. So I don't want any stuff.
No, she was fully dressed too. She just was very purposeful when she crossed her legs. And if you'd have done the same thing, it could have been.
Oh,
I'm just saying, I don't want to know you that well. Let's put it that way.
You guys. I apologize. Well, it was close though, but
I got a little uncomfortable. I'm glad this was closed circuit and nobody was seeing what was going on.
You could always walk away from the screen.
I did invert my eyes, by the way.
Oh man, you had the Bob eyes going too, man. Just
in my head. A hairy moment we didn't want to get involved in.
Oh, Mark, don't do it.
Just gotta tell it like it is.
Oh,
all right, some hairy problems for John Robinson of a totally different sort. He's got less than a week to come to terms with his star running back, Derrick Henry. Blaine,
yeah,
it's really interesting how many different ways you can look at this. A recent poll by ESPN of NFL executives, coaches, and players ranked the running backs, and Henry was ranked fifth. It surprised me a little bit. Saquon Barkley was number one. Christian McCaffrey, two. Ezekiel Elliott, three. Alvin Kamara, four. And Henry, five, mainly because of the lack of receiving numbers. You know, despite the fact that Henry's, you know, a great ball carrier, had the most yards rushing in the league last year. But you guys brought up an interesting counterpoint. You and David Beauclair, and you've said it before anyway, about the way the NFL is trending and why, you know, maybe the Henry side can argue to the contrary that Henry's even more of an asset than you think.
Yeah, no doubt about it, because the league is set up as a passing league, and, you know, we're zigging while everybody else trying to zag. And so you bring the hammer and the physicality and running downhill type you know, game to, you know, with Henry in the offense, you have an advantage going against, you know, smaller, more athletic, fast guys, not the big brutes. And let's just say, you know, the Evanses are a dime a dozen these days, you know, downhill, you know, linebacker that has the physicality, let alone can also still run and be athletic and cover too. So, yeah, I think there's an advantage there, but I'm not surprised by the ranking. You know, I think what happens here is, even as a player, you're watching guys, you go, oh, who would I fear in the open field? That's the first thing that comes to your mind to have to tackle. And I think they go, well, I know what I'm going to get from Henry. He's going to try to run me over. But guess what? Those other guys, they can set you up to run you over, let alone run around you or by you, or also juke you in the open field and make you look silly. So I think those things that, you know, it makes guys say, man, I don't know, man. I know what I'm going to get. Man, granted, I may not be able to tackle him. He may run me over. He may straight on me, but I know what I'm going to get. And I think those other guys, there's a fear factor that, uh-oh, this guy can make me look silly. And a lot of the guys, especially, you know, pro guys, don't want to look, you know, crazy on TV or have your buds in the meeting room and your buddies at home all, you know, talking bad about you, how you got juked out of your shoes. You got straight arm, you just say, ah, well, you got straight arm, and, you know, so be it. Yeah, I can see that, though. You know, hey, he doesn't have the passing yards, the receiving yards. He doesn't have the receiving yards. So do they try to get him the ball more? I don't know if that's who Henry is. Now, can they get him the ball a little bit more? True. But most of his balls that he got were, you know, in the passing game were all screen plays. We can talk about, you know, did he make a lot of people miss? Well, he made people miss with power and not with elusiveness. And I think when you see those guys ahead of him, their elusiveness is something that can't be defined, because there's not too many guys like those guys.
Yeah, you break that first tackle in the NFL if you're a running back, you're going to be pretty successful. Other thing that Henry has going for him, and you can attribute it to his offensive line or whatever, postseason performance, I think is something that his representation is sure to pull out in front of John Robinson. So let me ask you, Blaine, when we're having the same conversation a week from now, will Henry be signed to a long-term deal?
Ooh. Oh, man. You know what? I've said all along I thought they would do that. But, you know, who knows? I think it's a win-win either way. Either way for the client as well. He gets $10 million, and they franchise him again next year. He gets $12 million. That's $22 million, or whatever the number may be. If they don't, you know, I think it's some goodwill to the organization. The offense is run through Henry. I think the risk is worth it. So I say yes. I think they're going to give him a long-term deal. I think you give him a four-year deal. Maybe you guarantee 2 years and opt out on the third year. Protect yourself on the backside if you're the organization, as well as Henry. And if he performs well, then I'm going to keep going with the contract. So, yeah, I think they will. You know, I want to hear a lot of chants if they are allowed to be there about the King Henry. Yeah.
ESPN also had its top 10 quarterbacks. And this was kind of interesting. And again, a poll that included NFL executives, coaches, and some players. They're number one, Patrick Mahomes, no doubt about that. Russell Wilson, number two. I can't argue with that either when you're talking about production and just how much a guy means to his offense. Aaron Rodgers was third. Okay. Deshaun Watson of the Texans, fourth. Drew Brees, fifth. Lamar Jackson, sixth. Tom Brady, seventh. Interesting. Carson Wentz, eighth. Dak Prescott, 9. Matthew Stafford, 10. Ryan Tannehill didn't get a sniff. One of the comments attributed to an unnamed executive, he said, I can't take seriously a quarterback who threw only 14 passes in a playoff game. And, you know, maybe people see him as the beneficiary of what Henry's done. And again, that's maybe another point of the negotiation, that Derrick Henry, you know, made Tannehill better, and maybe not the other way around. I think it's both, but still kind of interesting how the league still sees Tannehill.
Well, I mean, I'm going to ask you this, Mark. I mean, do you think he's better than any of those 10 guys?
Yeah, I think he's better than Matthew Stafford. After that, I think he's in a group at the bottom of the top 10. Yeah, he needs another. He needs to duplicate what he did last year. And then I think they'll start talking about him as a top 10 quarterback.
Right, and that's where I wanted you to go. That's exactly where I wanted you to go, because it's his body of work. If you're talking about just last season and you want to rank him, if you're doing a one-year deal, he's in the top 10. Yeah. But his whole body of work is not top 10 performance. I get it. And, Stafford, which is arguably the guy you want to say, he could beat him out. Well, Stafford has a lot of throwing yardage, and he has probably a little more talent, arm talent. But other than that, he plays for the Detroit Lions. Let's put that out there. So, I think Tannehill's right where he's supposed to be. And that's where I think he's in that range of 10 to 15. If you want to look at his whole body of work now after you have an exceptional season, you can't say that's who he is until he does it again. And that's what the NFL is all about, because guess what? All offseason, everybody's game planning to stop you after you had a big season. And then when you come back and have pretty much close to that again, like Derrick Henry rushing for, let's say, 1,300 yards, the passer rating for Tannehill will be around, a little bit lower than what he normally is or what it was last year. I think then people start recognizing you in that first year. But then the second year they go, this guy's he's for real now. He's turned the corner. So I'd like to see another year of it. And if he does, he'll be in that conversation.
And just to put a period on the whole Henry thing, our buddy Terry McCormick of Titans Insider termed the negotiations or the situation as not imminent. So that's his opinion of the situation. But this has got to get done on the 15th, or it doesn't get done at all. So they are facing a major deadline in less than a week. All right, other subjects.
What are your thoughts? Do you think it gets done? How you going to go and not give us your thoughts? Give us somebody else's. What's up?
I don't think they're going to agree to a contract.
Right. Probably not. But they win either
way. I just think they don't agree on exactly who he is as a running back. Watch, he'll get signed. I'm never right on these things.
No, I think you're probably right, though. I mean, because I think that's the safe play.
Mm-hmm. Shafe, what do you think?
I want to think that it gets done. But I think the closer we get to it, you're looking at back-to-back franchise tag years.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Which is what Mike Jannetty of SpotTrack said on the show earlier this week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I bet the fan base says sign him to a long-term deal.
As far as Jadeveon Clowney, that came up in conversation with John Robinson. Paul Kaharsky did an interview with him. Paul, of course, of the Midday 180 and PaulKaharsky.com. And, he was asked about Clowney. And, of course, John Robinson was effusive in his praise for Clowney and feels like he's a good fit here, but says he wants to see him in person. He wants a physical performed on Clowney. He said the video looked good on social media, but he still needs to see him face to face. Where the Titans medical staff can, do what they do. It seems like the field is narrowing, at least at this point, with the Browns sort of stepping out maybe by restructuring Olivier Vernon's contract. The Seahawks, I think, are, the silent team in it. But at least for now, at least for the next 2 weeks till they report to camp, it seems like the Titans would be the team in the lead. But, Blaine, I think that all goes out the window once camp starts and teams start, having players test positive or injuries or whatever. So if I'm Clowney, my attitude might be I'm going to wait it out until at least a week or two into camp, which is going to be extended anyway.
Good point, man. That's a great point there. I love that. But if I'm John Robinson, I'm probably going to push him to sign before then. If not, we can keep it moving. Because once this, training camp starts and guys start falling, his value is going to go up. And I can't get him at the bargain basement price that I thought I could get him for, and now the risk is out the window, and I'm probably going to go elsewhere. Just like Clowney, will probably too, because of, you know, his value on the market, and you know, he's a dime a dozen. If somebody falls, man, he may go from, you know, 12 million to 16 million, and then with incentives now, all of a sudden, you know, he may be close to his number of 20 million. He may be around the 18 range if he goes performs. So when he's risking, you know, and you know, he's taking a risk in himself, and you know, hey, I'm all with a guy like that. Be on our side when you want to do that. So hopefully, if we have the realistic shot, it'll be right before, let's say, 2 or 3 days before camp, or two or three days after camp gets started to solidify Clowney. If not, man, I'll say I'll get a little nervous that we'll miss the boat.
Yeah, what's holding this up is the Titans can't bring Clowney in until I think camp starts. So you know, we're gonna have to wait on that. Other position areas, and I totally agree with you, and I've been big on this. The Titans have to clean up their place kicking situation. They cannot go through another year like last season, which, in your words, Blaine, cost them a game or two. But the other thing is, there's just no way you can be a serious Super Bowl contender mm-hmm. when your kickers are 8 for 18 on field goals. You just can't. And the Titans happen to have a magical year in the red zone in terms of efficiency, scoring touchdowns when they got inside the 20. That is something that doesn't happen every year. So they need to be able to get points, and even outside the red zone.
Yeah, it might have cost them a game or two. But yeah, just to remember, that, I forgot what it was, a home game. Vrabel decided to go for it on fourth down. It was really because he didn't believe in his kicking game.
Yeah.
And then it starts making you doing all the second guessing to yourself. And then, let alone if you're doing that, guess what you're doing to the kicker? Uh-oh, I don't believe in you. Do you believe in you? Because I don't. See? And all of a sudden, now you've tweaked the kicker's brain, and then, uh-oh, that is not good. So, yeah, those things happen. They could have won a game maybe, too. You just never know how the games would have played out. But you got to have that solidified if you're talking about, you know, a championship-caliber team that's trying to push and go to the Super Bowl and win it. So, yeah, I'd bring in competition all over the place. Some veteran, some, you know, middle-of-the-road, you know, kicker that's had some success, let alone Joseph's. Yeah, I'd cover myself all the way around. So, yeah, I'm bringing it in. And you hope you have time to do that, because if it's no preseason games, which that's what the players want, I don't know how you're going to duplicate a game and pressure in preseason. But, man, in practice, I may go push him before he's about to go kick. I'm making it tough as heck, man, because I need to make sure you're my guy.
No doubt.
I bring Suck Up back, too. I bring Suck Up in. If he's healthy, I'm bringing him in. He could be on my punch list down the road.
Yeah,
I want to see where he's at.
But you got to make quick decisions too. The other area is quarterback, backup quarterback. I think that is so vital this year, in a season where I think you're going to see a lot of injury, and also the probability of a positive test. You need to have somebody back there that you feel like not only knows the offense, but can win a game or two for you.
Yeah, well, you know me, with a chance of having asymptomatic tests with your quarterback and quarantining, you want to have somebody out there that's been out there before and been in those situations. So, yeah, I think it's vital. Hopefully you'll be able to pick up a veteran quarterback. We'll see how much they really believe in Woodside. I think they like him a lot, but until you do it in a live game, do you know he will do it? And that's perform at a high level. So that's why we need preseason games for him, too. He keeps improving every year. So let's see how much he improves this year.
All right. Straight ahead, the incredibly twisted mind of Jonathan Schaefer will come up with take three. 8:38 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. Day 45 on the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Mark Howard, Blaine Bishop, Kevin off this week, and our producer, Jonathan Schaefer. You know what time it is. Let her rip.
They've got hot takes. Actually, three of them. It's Take 3 on 104.5 The Zone.
All right, this is what I've got for you. The first of our Take 3, what is the number range in terms of games that college teams will play? Now, they're supposed to play 12 during a regular season. How many of the 12 do you think they're actually going to play? Let's say 8 or 10 or 12. How many games will they play this college football regular season?
I said late start 10 games. They'll eliminate two of the out-of-conference games with, you know, maybe the non-Power 5 schools, group of 5 schools. But I'm going to say 10.
Wow. I'm going to go 8. And I want. Then it'll be difficult to determine who are the champions. I'm going 8. Because typically, how many division games will they play? 6 or 7, maybe. If you're talking about SEC, East and West,
Well,
you play East and West.
SEC, they play 8? 9.
9. Okay. All right, I'm going 8. They're going to be one short.
I'm going to say 10 games total. The average team will play 10 games this year.
Oh, you and Mark Ty.
Yeah, I thought about going with 8, but I know you always want somebody to be different than you, Blaine, so I went with 10.
So you could have went 9.
Yeah, but I didn't believe that, though, so I went ahead and actually said the number I believed in. I wasn't going to say 9 just to be contrarian. I don't know who does that on this panel, but I wasn't going to do that. Take number 2. What professional sports will come out of this pandemic most favorably, maybe gain the most fans, have the best positive reaction? Who's going to come out of this pandemic as a professional sport looking the best?
Wow, that's a good one.
Dang, I don't know.
I think the NHL. I think that is set up to have the most success. I'm worried about the NBA, even though it's all under one roof. But I'm going to say the NHL. Maybe I'm a little biased.
I mean, it's not a bit biased. I would think they would have to be the leader in the campfire, but just to be the contrarian that I am, I'm going to go NBA because they're in that bubble, and they are going to get it done. And the only reason why I have faith that it's going to get done, LeBron James. You know why? Because he wants to get him another title. He wants to get onto Mantle, and they're going to make sure they're going to do everything they can to help LeBron James get this last title. So, yeah, or not last title, but this year's title.
And my reasoning is, right now, Central Florida is one of the hottest spots for coronavirus, you know, high numbers, while the numbers in Canada are going down. And right. That's my reasoning for going with the NHL.
Yeah. I have no reasoning besides this LeBron James. But, I mean, it's just throw it out there and just see what happens. I don't know. I like their testing procedures and what they're doing, really trying to protect their players, to be honest. I think they have a really good format that can help protect the players, as long as the players don't go outside of the bubble too often.
I'm going to say the sport that's going to come out looking best of this is NASCAR. Because all these other organizations, it's taken them longer to get back onto their respective fields. NASCAR has been able to adjust. They know how to do this. They've been able to get the entire audience out there. So they won't get anywhere near as close in terms of the popularity of the other sports. But in terms of growing their own sport and their own brand with a new audience, it's going to be NASCAR.
Nice.
I didn't know.
Surprising pivot there.
Yeah, NASCAR and golf. I didn't know we could count those in there, man.
What did I say? Professional sports. That's what I said.
I wasn't listening. That's not good. Top 5 sports.
You pulled a mark. You weren't listening.
Cannonball debuts tonight.
Cannonball.
That's not a real sport.
Isn't cannonball just like the next version of Wipeout? Isn't that basically the same genre of television?
Yeah, I love Wipeout.
Take 3. I like Wipeout too, and I hate to admit it. Take 3. Which do you dislike more, hot summers or cold winters?
You know what? I used to be the ultimate sun god. I could lay outside. It could be 160 with, you know, 160% humidity. And now in my later years, let's just say, I'm a lot friendlier to cold than I am to heat. I never thought I'd ever say that. But the heat, I don't handle the heat as well as I used to.
Watch this. What was the question again?
Which do you dislike more, hot summers?
I'm going to say hot summers.
That's what you dislike more is hot summers. Blaine?
Cold winters. I just want the sun. The sun just brings energy. I don't care how hot it gets. I just go inside and just look at the sun from outside. I feel elated and excited about life in general. You know, when it's cold and gloomy, oh, man. Oh, there's nothing to do. Can't do anything. At least if it's hot, I can still go to the beach. I just go out there and give me an umbrella.
You know, I would have said previously in my life that I disliked cold winters more, and that's a large reason why I moved to the South. But now, after I left the house the other day at 4:30 in the morning, and it already felt sticky and humid and soupy, I'm going to lean on what my father said years ago. You can always put more clothes on, but people won't let you take more off. So I dislike the hot summers more than cold winters.
I thought you were going to say you showed up in the buff. You know what? What does Coach Mack say? It's like breathing mayonnaise.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because where I was at last week and the cool temperatures to where I've been this week back here in Nashville and it being swampy hot, I think I'm over the hot summers. I think I'm done.
Yeah. Man, you guys don't get it, man. You want to see everybody start taking their clothes off.
Not everybody. Have you been on this show? Not everybody. No, we don't want to see everybody taking their clothes off.
Yeah, that's what we want. You just keep you. Sometimes you got to turn a blind eye to certain things. You just got to keep it moving.
I'm going to pull a Blaine and go, oh, my.
Hey, man. Got to have some fun. Right.
A strong effort from Schaefer on take three. Yeah,
effort. See how he threw that effort in there?
It was condescending. I'm okay with it.
No, it's not. I thought he did a good job. I thought he was going to hit us with the Derrick Henry question.
No, but that's boring. We've been talking about that the whole day. Why would I hit you with that? We literally just answered that the previous segment, so I wasn't going to
exactly. And
that's why we don't leave you in charge. No, that's why we don't leave you in charge.
Yeah, Mark. Someone does listen to the show. I mean, I'm just saying.
I don't know what that exactly means, Shape. So I'll let you know on that one. All right, straight ahead, one of the most important aspects of this return to play, 8:53 on the Wake Up Zone at 104.5 The Zone.